One of the outstanding aspects of the Shabbos Parshas VaYishlach, which took place in Tavshin Beis, is Haschalasi Erev Shabbos, that the beginning of the Shabbos, which begins the day before, Shabbos Nasas Achila D'Yema Shabbos, Erev Shabbos makes possible the eating, which will actually take place on Shabbos itself. K'maymer Hazal, Mishatarach B'Erev Shabbos Yechav B'Shabbos. As a statement of Chazal, that he who toils on the eve of the Sabbath will eat on the Sabbath. So this Erev Shabbos was B'Yem Tezvav B'Kislev. That Erev Shabbos took place on the 15th day of Kislev. Shebei Kaim Asiyar B'Ashlamusa, Ashlem is the Chedesh Kislev. On which, the 15th of the month is the time when the moon is full, which represents the fullness of the month of Kislev.
Oh, you have another one?
Thank you. Visayumai, and the end of Shabbos, which is Hagmar the Mitzvah Shabbos, the end of Shabbos extends into Mitzvah Shabbos, Shanimshach Adyem HaShlishi B'Shavua, which we know that halachically it extends. One can make Havdalah until the end of the third day of the week. B'yem Yutes Kislev is the 19th of Kislev. Chag HaGiyulah Shal Rabbeinu HaZakin, Chag HaChagim Rosh Hashanah L'Teres HaChsidus. It is the holiday of redemption of the Alter Rebbe, referred to in a letter of the Friedrich Rebbe, quoted in Hayem Yem, as the Chag of all Chagim, the holiday of all holidays, the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, for the Teres HaChassidus, as per the letter of the Rebbe Hashab, quoted at the beginning of Hayim Yem. Okay, so it starts, the Shabbos starts with Erev Shabbos, the 15th of Kislev, and it extends till the third day of the following week, which is Yutes Kislev. U'maylu b'yuchedis b'kviz zusha matimu la'kviz d'yutes Kislev v'pam r'sheinim sh'nas taknat. And one of the special qualities of having these days fall out in this exact Kvius is that it matches exactly the way it was on Yotes Kislev the first time in the year 5559. As per the words of the Alter Rebbe in his well-known epistle, Shegulasi Hesa Yem Yotes Kislev, that his redemption was on the day of the 19th of Kislev, Yem Gimel, the third day of the week, Shehochbo Bekitev, in which it was doubled God's statement that it is good, because when I was reading, and the actual redemption took place while I was reading in the book of Tehillim, the verse, that if you break that in the way that Tehillim is divided by the days of the week, the Pasuk Padi B'Shalom Nafshi appears in the Tehillim of Yom Shlishi of the third day of the week. And therefore, at that time, since the Yud Tes Kislev took place on Tuesday, so at that time, Shabbos was also Tes Zayin, and Erev Shabbos Tes Vav. Okay, when you call in Yonah Malachas, come and come in Yon Hachi Kloli V'ikri Ki Yud Tes Kislev. The Shoshana L'Teres HaChsidus, since all matters, and how much more so such a general and fundamental matter as Yotes Kislev, the new year, the Teres Achsidus Heim Bashkacha Pratis, all matters are by divine providence. V'tachlis Adiyuk, and everything is exactly orchestrated to the finest, finest details. V'stabel Leimah, so it makes sense to say, Sheish Keshav V'shaychus Beinayim, that there is a connection between the fact, Shehabrachav Anasinus Kech, the Yotes Kislev, that the source of the blessing, the spiritual blessing and empowerment of Yotes Kislev, as we know that everything that is drawn down throughout a week is, the process of drawing down begins with the Shabbos before. Everything that's going to happen that week, which the kayach for this event was drawn from the Shabbos preceding it, after and through the efforts of Erev Shabbos, because everything that is all spiritual blessings that are brought down on Shabbos are a result of the work and preparation that was done before Shabbos. So it comes out that it all derives from Tezvav Kislev, Shabbat Kaim Asir, the Chedesh Chidstav, Bash Lamusa, Kidla Kamal. That Shabbos, that the blessing and empowerment for Yotes Kislev derives from the 15th of Kislev, which is the Erev Shabbos of the Shabbos before, which is the preparation for the actual Shabbos, which is what, which is the time when all spiritual Hamshachis that will be brought down during the rest of the week originate in the Shabbos before, which is a result of the effort put in on the day before Shabbos. So there's a Hashkacha Pratis connection between Yud Tes Kislev and the fact that the Erev Shabbos before is Tezvav Kislev, the time when the month reaches its fullness. Behektim Shelo Tmiya Benegel Chag Agul Yud Tes Kislev Chag Achagim Sheyesh Beshinu Negabi Shar Achagim. In order to understand this, we first have to preface a question and a source of wonderment pertaining to the holiday of redemption of Yud Tes Kislev, which is the holiday of all holidays, that there is a difference between Yud Tes Kislev and all the other Chagim, all the other Yom Tov. Pesach and Sukkos, Pesach and Sukkos, Nikvu B'Yom Chamish Asar B'Chodesh, were established on the 15th day of the month. Pesach B'Tezvav B'Nissan, Sukkos B'Tezvav B'Tisha. Pesach on the 15th of Nissan, Sukkos on the 15th of Tisha. Shebei Kaima Siyara Bashlimus. And at which point the moon is at its fullest. That is when the moon is complete. Shavuos, which is the exception, in addition to the fact that the Pasuk, that Shavuos is unique, that it does not fall out on a specific day of the month. It relates to the Omer. It's the 50th day from the bringing of the Omer offering. So it doesn't relate to the days of the month. So it's unique, since it doesn't relate to the days of the month, so we don't say that Shavuos is different, that it comes out on a different day of the month than the 15th. Because Shavuos has no specific day of the month it comes out. It can come out on the 5th, it can come out on the 6th, it can come out on the 7th.
It's okay? Different system.
Right, it's right. It doesn't pertain to the day of the month directly. In addition to that, Harek V'yusiv Yimei HaChedesh Pamim Chamisha Pamim Shisha Pamim Shiva. But even so, the way it falls out, whether it's the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th day of the month, Yibichetzi Yerishin Shal HaChedesh. It still comes out in the first half of the month. Shalavana v'dugmasa v'yisrael shadeimu l'vana menu l'vana haylechas v'gadla miyayim liyayim. Either way, even though Shavuos itself, which is not set up by the days of the month, but whatever day of the month it comes out, it can only come out one of 3 days, the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th, which are in the time of the month when the moon is growing. The first day of the month, the moon is growing. So Yom Tov are either connected to the fullness of the moon or to the growth of the moon. Mashenka Yud Tes Kislev. However, Yud Tes Kislev is different. That Leizu B'Vad She'ene V'Tesov B'Chedesh K'Shekayim Siyar B'Ashlemusa. That not only is it not on the 15th of the month, when the moon is full, El Yisaidim Yizeh Shubachetzi Hashenish Shalachedesh Shalavona Hilechas Umisma'etes Miyem Riyay. In fact, even more so, it's in the second half of the month when the moon is on the wane, when the moon is becoming ever smaller from day to day. Well, Derech Zev Yisaidim Yizeh B'Negei L'Yom Tov D'Chanuk. And similarly, and even more so, as pertains to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So, She'ena Kippurim She'kviyusay B'yom Yudal V'Tezvav B'Chedesh K'shekayim Asiyar B'Ashlemusa. That Chanukah is not like Purim, which is also established on the 14th and the 15th of the month, which is the time when the moon is full, because the fullness of the moon is actually between the 14th and the 15th. Elas Chalasi V'Rubay B'yom Ma'achrenim Shal HaChedesh The most of Chanukah is in the second half of the month. 5 or 6 days of Chanukah come out in the second half of a month.
Starts at the 25th.
Right, 5 or 6 days come out in the second half of the month. when the moon is not only getting ever less, but it reaches the point where the moon is completely disappears. So v'yesh levay t'chil l'techen ha'in d'chmiyat ha'levana v'chetzi ha'sheni shal ha'chedesh b'yachas l'Yisrael sh'meinu levana. In order to understand how this relates to these various Yom Tovim, we first have to appreciate the significance. What does it mean in the context of the association that we make between the moon and the Jewish people? In the context of the Jewish people and their role in this world, what is the significance of the waxing and waning of the moon? We understand that the fact that the moon is growing, that we could understand how this, what this has to do with the role of the Jewish people in the world. They start off small, and the idea is that it's supposed to grow until it reaches its fullness. But what is the spiritual significance of the second half of the month, in which the moon seems to be getting ever smaller? It reaches its peak, and then what happens? When it reaches its peak, then it's getting smaller. So what's the point of that? To reach a peak and then to get small? What's that all about? So Ubagdon. So in order to understand this, the Rebbe says, first we have to preface. Shekeven shebechetzi harishon shel hachedesh meisav v'heilach. Eir ha'levana miyem liyem. That being that in the first half of the month, the light of the moon is increasing in an ongoing way, from day to day. V'chetzi ha'sheni shel hachedesh peiches v'heilach eir ha'levana miyem liyem. The second half of the month, light of the moon is getting less and less. Ayitzarech liyos l'cherek amaminyan l'levana g'eifen shebechetzi harishon shel hachedesh yemin ha'yomim meisav v'heilach yem aleph yem beis chulu ad yem tesvav v'chetzi ha'sheni shel hachedesh yemin ha'yomim peches v'heilach yem tesvav yem yidal v'chulu ad yem aleph. The point of the idea, they haven't said like this, but theoretically the numbering system of the month is that until the 15th of the month, we go the first day, the second day, the third day. Because the month which is defined by the moon, okay, these are lunar months. So the month which is defined by the state of the moon, we understand why the number increases from day to day. The question is, in the second half of the month, when the light of the moon is decreasing, so the Rebbe says, theoretically, the number of the days should also decrease. In other words, that there's two ways that we can look at a number system. We could look at a number system as a technical device in order to keep track of the amount of time that has passed. Okay, so since we have an entity called a month, and we need a device in order to be able to keep track of how far into the month we are, so we have this device called a number system, that by counting the days of the month, we have an idea of how many days has gone by in this entity called a month, which happens to have, in this entity called a month, there's a waxing moon, and in this entity called a month, there's a waning moon. In order to technically keep track of time, how many days in this entity has gone by, we have a number system. So if that's the way that the number system works, then it's not a question. I mean, obviously, in order to keep track of time, it's obviously going to be as a functional system. If it's simply a technical device to keep track of time, obviously it's far more useful to keep track, to count 1 through 29 or 1 through 30. But if we look at the numbering system, that each number defines a spiritual quality. Each day represents a different spiritual state. And the spiritual state is not only that spiritual state which is achieved in each day of the month. The number corresponds to that spiritual stage in the growth of the moon, in the development of the moon. So if that's the case, where the numbers are not simply a technical device, a numerical device, but rather that the numbers define the spiritual state of the process of the moon. If the numbers define a spiritual and measure in a way this spiritual process, which is going through, which is taking place, if that is the case, then as the moon grows, the numbers should grow. And as the moon becomes smaller, the numbers should become small. How is the moon getting smaller, but the numbers are still growing? A growing set of numbers would seem to be indicating that the spiritual process of the moon is increasing. Whereas the actual light that the moon is giving is decreasing. So the first day of the month, I understand how each day of the month, each higher number of the month represents a spiritual increase corresponding to the increase of the moon. I see that the moon is going through a process of growth. So I understand how the numbers correspond to this growth. But if the moon itself is going through a shrinkage, so why do the numbers continue to grow? What are you going to use for as a device in order to keep track of the days of the month? You use a different device. Use the ABC. But the point is, if the numbers are not a device, the numbers are define and express the spiritual state of the month, of where it's holding. So if the moon is decreasing, then which represents a spiritual decline, so then the numbers should be decreasing as well. Avo. However, not only does the number of the days of the second half of the month not decrease, it increases to numbers that are even higher than 15. 15 represents the peak of the month, and yet the numbers keep going beyond that, which seem to be representing achieving higher states than what we refer to as the peak of the month. That the number of the day following Tezvav, which means that completeness, the peak has already started to diminish and decrease, the number is 16. The day following that, in which the light of the Levana has decreased even more, is 17, the Yud Zayin. Two numbers higher than 15. And so onward. Till the day, the last day of the month, which is either 29 or 30, which is many numbers higher than 15, up till possible double of 15. So how could you say that the time, so it comes out that the day in which the moon is completely concealed is somehow double the 15th, which is the day when the moon is at its peak, is at its fullest. Zeis void. This and also, addition to the fact that the numbers are increasing, if you look at the numerical values and the concepts that are alluded to in these numbers that we find in Torah, these are Torah concepts that are alluded to by these numbers, you see that there is an added significance to these numbers as it gets to higher numbers. Uludogma, for example, Mispa Yud Zayin HaGematria the Toiv, the number 17, which is the Gematria of Toiv, which means good. Mispa Yud Ches is Chai, which means life. Mispa Yud Tes HaGematria the Bitoiv, 19, which equals Bitoiv in goodness. Mispa Chav Yud B'Miluoy, the number 20, which represents the fullness of the letter Yud, as it's spelled out, Yud Vav Dal, which in Kabbalah is a Kabbalah concept, which explains that the Miloy of the Yud is higher than the Yud itself. Mispachav Aleph, Achtev Yisrael. Mispachav Aleph, which alludes to the verse which says, Achtev Yisrael, only goodness for the Jewish people. Mispachav Beis, Bechal Yivarech Yisrael. Mispach of the number 22, which is connected to, in addition to the union of the 22 letters of the Torah, also B'chol Yivarech Yisrael. Mispach of Gimel HaGemati, the Toivu, as in the Pasuk Mat Toivu. The number 23, that's the numerical value of the word Toivu. Mispach of Dal, the Samti Kapkech Shem Shisaya. The number 24, which alludes to the pasuk of Sabdi Kamkei Shem Shaysayach. Now, each one of these things, he's only giving you the word. But if you look in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, these concepts are extremely significant concepts. Like here, he refers to Sabdi Kamkei Shem Shaysayach. So the Alter Rebbe says that this word contains in it all of the, besides the fact that 24 alludes to the 24 books of Tanakh, but the Alter Rebbe says that Samti Katke Chim Shesayach includes in it, this word alludes to a concept which includes to in it the entire Torah. The Alter Rebbe describes, brings a medrash that says, brings a dispute between the Malachim, and the Alter Rebbe explains that that there's two aspects to our avodah in this world. One is Mumaila Lamata, and one is Mumata Lamaila. It brings a medrash which brings a dispute between the Malachim, and that the Eibishter resolves the dispute by saying Lehevei Kedein Ukedein. Let it be like this one and like that. That ultimately the tachlis is that the God, the highest levels of godliness should come down. That's in the Mumaila Lamata, and that the world should be a keli for this highest revelations of godliness. That's the end of Mumato Lamaila. And this is alluded to in the word Katkait, which Chazal say on this word Katkait, that it's referring to what Hashem said, Lehevi Kedeinu Kedeinu. Katkait literally, Katkait is a kind of precious stone. And it says there was a dispute between the Malachim, which stone is this precious stone. So the Rebbe says, and the Gemara says, that, and it's Chazal say that, the Eibishter says, let it be both. Now the Rebbe explains that the difference between these two precious stones is that one gives off light and the other only reflects light. And he explains that this is the two spiritual avodas of Lamayla Lamata, Mumata Lamayla. And that Lehevi Kedeinu Kedein is that ultimately the highest revelations of godliness should come down into the world in a way that the world is a vessel for. So you have here, these are not just simple plays on words that the Rebbe is throwing out here. These are things that if you go through in Chazal and in Kabbalah and Chassidus, and each one of these represents a significant spiritual concept.
I just wanted to ask you, the Indian is that there's a unity, therefore, of the Mamayla Lamata and Lamata Lamayla? Okay.
Mispachav Hei is case of Aruchas B'nai Yisrael. The of Kai, which, as we know, many Giluyim of Nevuah and so on come with the word of Kai, which is a whole thing unto itself. Chavav is Mispashem of Mephenish, Havaya, 26 is the number of the name of Kevavke, Chavzayin Begematria Zach, Chavzayin is the numerical value of Zach, which means purity, Chavchez Mispakeach, strength, Chavtesim Yachedish, Leshem Chedish Molik Yitzim. Okay. The Tamadov. What is the reason why the numbers are go up on it? Kevin Sheyashnei Tzivu Yivayro and Asinus Keach Mylon Bekedesh. The Eimerid, the Rebbe is Valachas Kami Kamish Eimerid. The halacha is that we increase in holiness, that you don't go downward. This has halachic implications, but what items you're allowed to sell in order to buy, what holy object you're allowed to sell in order to buy another holy object. You're only allowed to increase in holiness and not go downward. And this is also true of Bechlal, the whole spiritual Aveda in this world, that there's no such thing as Kedusha backing down, or stepping back. Kedusha only can increase. Shubetakfei b'chol yimei achedesh, gam b'chatzi ha'sheinin shel achedesh, l'achay mili shlemis avona, shem yim liim helich v'niteis v'edeis. The fact is, the Rebbe says, that the kedusha, that the spiritual significance of the days of the month, it makes sense that they should be increasing, because holiness is only increases. And this rule that holiness only increases is true throughout the entire month, not only true for the first day of the month. How does this fit with what the moon is doing? That we have to explain. But that the rule is that holiness only increases. That's the rule. That's the case. We now have to understand, why is the moon getting small? Why the numbers are getting higher? That we understand. Because that's how everything works. I, when you reach 29 or 30, you start again from 1, because now you're beginning a new entity, a new Aveda. It's not a contradiction to start again from 1, because you're starting now a whole new process. But the question is that that's the case, if that's the rule, and the numbers are following that rule, the question is, how come the moon isn't following that rule? Why is the moon getting smaller? Which seems to represent a decrease of spiritual light in the world. So the Rebbe says the explanation of why the fact that the moon is getting smaller is not a contradiction to the rule that holiness only grows and increases. The sun and the moon, their relationship, and also they represent in macro the union of Mekabel and Mashpia. In micro, the union of Mekabel and Mashpia. Of the Mekabel is the one who gives, the Mashpia is the one who gives, and the Mekabel is the one who receives. Shalavana lesla migamaklum. The Levana only has reflected light. It has nothing of its own. It possesses no light of its own. Umikabelas eira me'acham. Whatever light it does have, it receives from the sun. Eifen hashpahu. How is this transfer, this giving over from the sun to the moon, how does this take place? Shebetchilu mikabelas rak ma'at er. At first it only gets a little bit of light from the sun. And that's why, that's Meilat HaLevana. The moment of the birth of the moon is when the moon is getting only a small amount of light from the sun. Nekuda bilvat, only like a small point of light. Umiyem liyem, and from day to day, Meisiv v'helich bo'er shemekabelos me'acham, it increases daily in the light that it receives from the sun. Ad liyem ha'tezvav, until the 15th of the month, shenismala diskus shalavana, that the discus, the circle of the moon, becomes full. The moon is at its fullest. That the moon has reached its limit, and it's filled and completed the amount of light that the moon can receive from the sun. Aval. However, even when the moon becomes full, it hasn't reached its ultimate potential.
Why?
Because its fullness is not its own. Its fullness is only full in terms of what it has received. But it's still a receiver. It's still dependent. It still has not achieved anything on its own. So therefore, ain't it tachlis hashleimus talavana? Shenasis kamei achama, ve'ein atzvicha lekabel er me'achama. Kamei shekasa v'ayah er alvana ke'er achama. This is not the ultimate fullness of the moon, that it becomes like the sun, and it no longer needs to receive light from the sun, as it says that one day will be the case, that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Kamei shei sekei de miyuta, as the moon was before it was diminished. That there were two luminaries, two sources of light, meaning the moon in and of itself was a source of light, not only a receptacle of light. So even the 50th of the month still does not represent the moon achieving its ultimate state, because the moon is still in a diminished state. It's still in a state where it's only a receptacle for the light of the sun. But it has not yet achieved its true ultimate purpose and position, which is to be a luminary in and of its own right. So v'yeshleim. So we could say that shenismala er alvana shemekabelus me'achama nasis shleimus nalis yesa shalvana hi kemeachama v'haya er alvana ke'erachama al yidei skalus darga nalis yesa mishneim. Shenasis keser echad l'shneim. Ushleim izum is batas biyachas shvein alvona l'cham b'chetzi hashen shalachet shkid l'kama. So the Rebbe says that no, we could say that there's something that takes place on the 15th of the month, which is far more significant than the moon receiving its limit of what it could receive. When the moon has received the limit of what it could receive from the sun, then the moon and the sun achieve a state of unity, of oneness, and which causes to be revealed a level of godliness which is higher than both of them, which is referred to in Chassidus and Kabbalah as Keser Echad L'Shneihem, a level at which point they both share one crown. And this is expressed, and this shleimus is expressed in the relation between the moon and the sun in the second half of the month, as we shall see. I'm saying like this. The ultimate purpose of the moon being Mekabel is not that it should remain a Mekabel. The ultimate purpose is that the moon should become a luminary in its own right. What happened? The moon came along and said, two kings cannot share one crown. So Hashem said to the moon, if that's the case, then you diminish yourself. But the Maaseh says that Hashem promises the moon that one day it will once again be like the light of the sun. So the question is, what will have been accomplished? Well, if there's a problem with it being the same as the light of the sun, so what will have been accomplished by diminishing it and then reinstating it? If there was something that had to be accomplished by diminishing it, so then what's the point of promising that one day it will be reinstated? You'll have the same problem. So Chassidus explains that the conflict between the sun and the moon is that in the world that we live in a world where we perceive the world and the Eibishter as being two separate entities. From our perception, the world we live in is a world that's separate from the Eibishter. And the Eibishter Dafka created it that way. He developed a whole system called Tzimtzum, which was made in order that we should actually perceive it that way. We should perceive the world as separate from its creator. In a world in which we perceive as separate from its creator, and what is the ultimate purpose of making this world that is separate from its creator? That it should one day, through the Aveda of the Yidden in this world, it should one day be revealed the truth in this world that the world is not separate from its creator. But in a way that this truth does not overwhelm the world and make it, so to speak, be consumed by its creator, by the fact that it's one with its creator, but that the world should be a world. And at the same time, you should see that the world is really one with its creator. So Hasidus explains that there should be a world with all the Alter Rebbe says that if you could see the divine flow of energy in a physical object, then you wouldn't be able to see the physical object. But that's not the ultimate purpose. When we say that godliness will be revealed in the world, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to see the physical object anymore. Through the process of Tzimtzum, through God concealing that creative energy, and the Avodah of Torah Mitzvahs, we make the world a keli, the physical world a keli, that God should be able to reveal the creative energy in the physical world, and you'll see the physical world. It's not it will overwhelm the physical world, you won't be able to see the physicality. You'll see the physical, and you'll see the godliness in the physical. And it won't be a contradiction. Where does this come from? How could spirituality, infinite light, be revealed in a physical object? And you should be able to perceive that they're really part of one, that they're part of a higher oneness. Through the revelation of that higher oneness, which is what? Which is God's very essence. That God's very essence is the oneness which incorporates all things, all opposites. So even though the world as we know it, the spiritual and the physical, are opposites, through the process of separating them, at least to our perspective, they appear to be separate, spiritual and physical. And then the avodah of reconnecting them, the avodah, the Eishu gives us the koyach through our avodah to draw down into the world this oneness, which is higher than both the spiritual and the material, and that way bring the spiritual and the material together, to merge as one. So what the moon and the moon was saying about the sun is that there's no such thing as that we're not living in a world where there can be two luminaries. We're living in a world where if there'll be two luminaries, then they will appear to have two separate domains. Because the moon represents the physical, the sun represents the spiritual, the moon represents the material. So they're saying that in this world, so the moon came with a time that it can be two kings with one crown. In other words, the world is not yet a keli to the revelation of two seemingly opposing forces to be completely unified And therefore, from the perspective of the world, the sun and the moon are a conflict. Either the sun is the source of light, or the moon is the source of light. So the sun and the moon are in conflict. There's no such thing as two kings with one crown. So the Eibush, this same process, so really this discussion of the moon is playing out this process of Gashmis and Ruchnis. That the moon is saying there can be a world in which both Gashmis and Ruchnis are as one. One has to be on top, and the other has to be on bottom. The Eibush says, you're right. We have to put Ruchnis on top, and Gashmis on bottom. In order to make the Gashmis into a Keli, for the Ruchnis, we have to give the Gashmis a lower standing than the Ruchnis, and the Ruchnis has to, and the Gashmis is dependent on what it receives from the Ruchnis in order to exist. But ultimately, the Tachlis is that the Gashmis and the Ruchnis should both equally express the oneness of Hashem's essence. Ultimately, it should reach a point where not one is not higher than the other. Where they both equally represent, where they, so to speak, share one crown. So this is the play. Chassidus explains that the source of godly concealment in the world, the darkness of the material world as we know it, originates from the diminishing of the moon, which originates from the first tzimtzum. It's the same process. And that's what God says. Hashem says, that on Rosh Chodesh we should bring a carbon, a sacrifice, a kapara for me that I caused the moon to be diminished. Because the fact is that in this process, that we're living in a dark world. The living in a dark world means that the Jew, whose mission it is to illuminate the world, has the potential of falling into that darkness. And whose fault is that? That really a Jew whose soul is a part of God, there shouldn't even be a possibility of sin. So whose fault is it that there's this whole process of sin and falling into darkness? It's Hashem's fault. So Hashem says, I need a kapara. It's my fault. You fix up my problem. The job of the Jewish people is to fix up the mess, so to speak, that Hashem made. Hashem made a world of darkness that's a mess, and it's our job to fix up his mess. But he did it on purpose, because he wanted, that's all part of the plan, that there should be a mess and we should fix it up. But he's responsible for the mess, it's his fault. So this is the process that's going on between the sun and the moon, is the fact that the moon is a mekabel from the sun, is by definition only temporary. The point is that the moon, once the moon has fulfilled, has been mekabel from the sun, whatever it could take, once the Gashmis has become a keli to receive whatever ruchnis it could contain, then we have reached the point where it's supposed to be revealed that the Gashmis itself is equal to, or in some places it says even higher than, the ruchnis that it's receiving from. So similarly, what's happening is when the moon reaches its fullness, the next step is that it should become when there's total harmony between the material and the spiritual, when there's total harmony between the moon and the sun, that the sun has given the moon everything it could give, and the moon has taken from it everything it could receive. Now they're able to achieve this higher state of harmony, which is to reveal their source, which completely unifies these two forces, and therefore makes it possible to again return to a state in which the sun and the moon are equals, and at the same time completely unified. So the Rebbe says this concept that's discussed at length in Chassidus, much lengthier than I can even do here, is expressed by what happens to the moon begashmias in the second half of the month. What happens in the second half of the month after it achieves it receives the greatest light it could receive? The Rebbe says like this, Piratvar. The explanation of this is that Sibus Hashinu b'chetzi harishon shel hachedesh shem yem liyem mesiv v'helech era alavona v'chetzi hasheni shel hachedesh shem yem liyem peches v'helech era alavona hi v'pnei she b'chetzi harishon shel hachedesh v'leches u'misrachekes alavona miyacham. Why is it that in the first half of the month the light is increasing and the second half of the month the light is decreasing? Because the first half of the month, you know what's happening? The moon is getting further from the sun. The further the moon gets from the sun, the further it gets from the sun, the more light it shines down outward. The second half of the month, it's growing ever closer to the sun. And the closer it gets to the moon, the less and less light it gives. In other words, as it turns away from the moon, so let's call it the face of the moon. As the face of the moon turns away from the sun, it shines down here. But as it turns back towards the sun, so it's less and less of it is showing down here.
I mean, you say it's becoming less of, as the closer it is, it's receiving more, so it's giving off less.
Yeah. Tamado. The reason is because Yahash ben Amashpia Kama Makabulavanu, who behaved Shakashan Makabulu Bekirvela Mashpia, Aina Makabul Yahala Spiel Hoyer, which had a bitl Shalela Kabulashpa. The reason is because the relationship between a giver and a receiver, between the sun and the moon, is that when the receiver is close to its source, busy receiving, so it's too busy receiving and doesn't give out. It doesn't give off light because it's busy receiving. Because it's totally bottled to its source in order to receive that ashpa. The further it gets away from its source, so then it can also give out some of the light that it has to others. And halacha, this halacha is like this, that a Talmud is not a paskin in the same place where his rav is. He's not a paskin in the same place. But when he goes away, he's far away, if his rav gives him rishus, he can go, he can paskin in other places. Because Kozman is in front of the rav, so we mitzad his bittel, and mitzad that his yachas to the rav is that he's a mekabel, and a mekabel has to be totally bottled to the mashpia. So there's no such thing as being mashpia to others. Because he's totally being mekabel.
You're cashing meat. What's the
law? I did the title of the Mivra Leipala.
Yeah.
When something is busy absorbing, it doesn't give out. Right. Especially begashmias. When something is busy absorbing, it doesn't give out. So similarly, that's the way it works with the sun and the moon. So begashmias, what's happening is when the moon is getting, the beginning of the month, the moon is getting further from the sun. The further it gets from the sun, the more light it could give out. In the second half of the month, it's getting ever closer to the sun. And the closer it gets to the sun, the less it could give. So we can say, Shakir of Dalavan el Acham, Bechetzi Hashem Shal Achedish, Ulei Lak, Ulei Rak, Tzerech Ischachus Hayichu Dashim Shavasir, Mashpiyam Vekabel, Bamele Dachedish Shal Achedish. The most obvious explanation is that the reason why it has to get closer to the sun, is so that it could start off the process of giving light for the next month. It's giving out, it gave out whatever it could, and now in order to be able to give out again, it has to get closer to the sun in order to receive, in order to start the process of giving out again. So the Rebbe says that we can say that that's not the only reason why it gets closer to the sun. It's not only in order to reconnect to its source, in order to be able to be born again in the next month. Through diminishing from day to day, which is being misbattled to its source, in order, which is described in the pasuk, which refers to the story of David and Yenison, which it says that when David will be missed, David used to come, the big meal by Shaul, on Rosh Chodesh, they made a special festive meal that all the close people would come to. And if David HaMelech would not show up, his seat would be noticed that it's empty. So my father will remind himself of you, and we'll see how he reacts. They were trying to figure out if Shaul still wants to kill David or not. So by the fact that your place is empty, you will be noticed, you will be remembered. So the same, so here it says that this refers to the moon and the sun, that through the moon becoming completely concealed, your seat is empty, the moon, that brings that immediately after the rebirth of the moon, and you will be remembered. Okay, so it's not just for that purpose, because in that case, that explanation is saying that in and of itself there is no function of the moon getting closer to the sun, it's only for the sake of the next month. Because if the second half of the month, the relation between the moon and the sun is not for itself, but it's for the next month. The Rebbe says, no.